First Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to start this morning. Today is Sunday, January 4th, 2026, a brand new year. Happy New Year to everybody. You know, every new year, many people make New Year's resolutions. And every year in the top five is exercise, diet, and weight loss, consistently every year. I think the other two that are consistently in the top five are relationships and money. But those three, always in the top five, exercise, diet, and weight loss. And of course, one of the great ways to lose weight is through a good diet and exercise. So this morning, I thought we would consider exercise, diet, and weight loss. What? Not the kind of exercise, diet, and weight loss that people put on their New Year's resolutions, the usual ones, but nevertheless, what we're going to look at this morning might be good for New Year's resolutions. So we begin in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7 says, refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself unto godliness. Verse 6, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. The word exercise there, I mean, the context will let you know whether that's physical exercise or mental exercise. And I think we all know to get the benefits of exercise, it requires a decision and consistent effort. I think we all know that. We're going to come back here to 1 Timothy 4, but if you would, look at Hebrews 5. We had this a few months ago, this verse, when we were talking about maturity, being mature believers. Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 11 of Hebrews 5. Of whom, verse 11, Hebrews 5:11, of whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So they were at this point, but now they've kind of... For everyone, verse 13, that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But, verse 14, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, to them that are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm sure you probably remember the believers in Corinth were not mature. They were babies. Paul said, you still need milk. You're not ready for the meat of the word. And sadly, some believers stay in the baby stage their whole lives. In the working translation of verse 14, Reverend Cummins translates it this way. However, solid food is for mature ones, who because of practice have their faculties trained. That's how he translated exercise, trained. Discipline could be another thing. Have their faculties trained to discern both good and evil, to get results from physical or mental exercise. It requires a decision and a consistent effort. You know, you could say, you know, I'm going to start exercising. I'm just going to go, and you do it for one day. And then you're like, I don't think I want to do that. You know, this time of year, and that happens to a lot of people. Boy, this year, I'm getting after it. I'm going to do this and do that. And it's like the the guy that named his dog 5 miles. And then he just told everybody, you know, I walk 5 miles every day. That it takes consistent effort. When I lived on Selden Lane, I probably told this to a number of people. You've probably heard this before, but my neighbor John, I mean, I lived there for 30 years, and I always noticed John, and I think when I moved there, I don't know, he was, I think, in his 60s, because when I left, he was like close to 90, but he walked every day. And then there came a time when he was walking kind of slowly with his wife, and then later in the day, he'd be walking. And so I'm like, God, this guy loves to walk, and just walked all. So I started walking. I just, you know, this is a good way to do exercise, walk around the neighborhood. And one day I saw him as I was just starting my walk, and he's like, hi, neighbor. And he must have been close to 80 by then or something. I said, hey, hi, John. He goes, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm following your example. I'm out walking. And then he said, pardon my language, pain in the ass, isn't it? I'm thinking this guy loves to walk. So he's like, pain in the ass, isn't it? He goes, I got to talk myself into it every day. That was a great lesson for me. It was like, wow, you would think this guy just lives to walk. Talk myself into it every day. That's that consistency. Let's go back to 1 Timothy, if you would. 1 Timothy 4, let's read that again. Verse 7. The latter part of verse 7 says, exercise thyself unto godliness. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, it's profitable now, and of that which is to come. Physical exercise definitely does profit our physical bodies, but for a little, meaning a little while, because none of us are going to live to be 200 years old. So compared to eternity, which the context shows, physical exercise profits us for a little while, but godliness is profitable not only to us now, but in the life to come. And we know that God has promised us rewards when Christ returns. Any person can put in mental exercise, discipline, training in any field, lots of fields. A very good New Year's resolution would be to make a decision to be consistent in exercising unto godliness. And that word godliness, the Greek word basically means reverence and respect for God. Another way of putting it is piety toward God. It's our love and reverence to God. And it definitely is related to our personal relationship with God. If that happened automatically, God wouldn't say, exercise yourself to godliness, would he? No. It says in verse 7, exercise yourself unto godliness. In having a personal relationship with God, we obviously need to know him. That's true with any relationship, isn't it? If you're going to have a relationship with someone, you have to know them, right? So how do we get to know God so that we could have a personal relationship with him? You know, who he is, what he's done, what he's promised. Where do we get that information from? His word, the Bible. That's simple, right? Exercising ourselves unto godliness has to involve God's written word. And that brings us to our mental diet. You know, many people make New Year's resolutions. Boy, this year I am going to do this. I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to do that, right? Well, what about a resolution for spiritual food? And it's a very good analogy because Jesus Christ used it, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And words that proceed out of the mouth of God are the written word, the scriptures. So Jesus Christ said, yeah, we need physical food, but what about spiritual food? Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And we just read in Hebrews that strong meat belongs to them that are mature. Look at Psalm 1. Back up to Psalm 1. And again, as we look at this, it's good to keep reminding ourselves that God said this will be profitable to us in this life and in the life to come. Psalm 1, I think we looked at this in detail a few months ago, I think. Blessed is the man or the woman. Blessed. You want to be blessed? And that means happy. Blessed is the man or the woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of sinners, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that's another way that God talks about his word. Law, testimony, precepts, judgments. It's all referring to his word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in God's word. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And when we looked at this a few months ago, meditate means to mutter, to speak to yourself. Isn't this interesting? This requires a decision and some consistency, doesn't it? What's the consistency in here? Day and night, meaning every day. In his law does he meditate every day. And look at the prophet in verse 3. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Sometimes we have to have a little patience for that season to get there. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How's that for some profit? That's really good, isn't it? In the coming new year, we could decide and then put forth a consistent effort to spend more time reading God's word, delighting in God's word, more time in gaining an understanding and growing and maturing in what God said. You know, meditating on those words, speaking those words to ourselves. And that's a really big part in exercising ourselves unto godliness, is the spiritual diet, God's food. That kind of mental exercise and spiritual diet, they really go hand in hand. Do you see that? I mean, if we're going to mentally exercise ourselves on what? On woodwork. I mean, people do that on woodwork, on fixing cars, on, you know, all kinds of different things that are available. But if we're going to exercise ourselves unto godliness, then the diet that goes with that would be God's word. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Just like physical exercise and a good diet result in physical weight loss, part of the benefits of exercising ourselves unto godliness is weight loss, not physical weight loss. So don't misunderstand this morning's teaching, or like, I'm going to read the Bible 5 hours a day and watch the pounds go away. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. It would be nice to share with somebody. Yeah, I went to a Bible fellowship. Oh, what did they talk about? Weight loss? Really? Tell me more. Okay. You asked for it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, familiar to us. In whom we have redemption through his blood, because Jesus Christ died for us, we're redeemed. And then look what else we have. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Forgiveness. Look at the great profit that we gain from eating this good food that we just read in verse 7. And then, of course, exercising our brains to accept that and believe it. We've been forgiven. We don't have to carry the weight of condemnation and sin consciousness anymore. We've been forgiven. God has forgiven us everything, he said, because Jesus Christ paid the price for all of it. Wow, there's many Christians that go through life carrying the weight of sin consciousness and condemnation for things they've done in the past that God's already forgiven them for. It takes exercising ourselves, our brains, moving our brains to believe it, accept it, that we are forgiven. What a weight to release from us. And God doesn't want us to carry that kind of weight. How much weight of unworthiness melts away when we read and believe that we are righteous in God's eyes, that we're holy, that we're accepted, that we're unreprovable, unimpeachable, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. How much of the weight of unworthiness melts away when we believe that and accept that, that we are worthy, that He loves us unconditionally. You know, working our brains to believe and accept that, that's exercising ourselves unto godliness. So in the coming year, we could shed some pounds. Shed some pounds of unworthiness by reminding ourselves of who we are. And that takes a consistent effort. It's not like one time, okay, I'm holy, okay, I'm righteous, good. Then I go about my business and forget about it and think I'm lousy again. Or hear some wonderful preacher saying, you know, we're all broken. We might not be perfect. We might fall short from time to time. We might have a lousy week even. We're not broken. God doesn't say that in His word that we're broken. He says we're complete. So we're not completely broken. He says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We're holy, accepted in His sight. That's what we need to exercise in our brains, to see ourselves how God sees us. Go to Romans 12. You probably figured we'd go to Romans 12 talking about our diet here, our mental diet. Romans chapter 12. Again, another very familiar verse, verse 2, Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the Working Translation, Reverend Cummins translated that verse this way. Do not be fashioned by this age, but be transfigured by the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove what is the good and well-pleasing and mature will of God. Who is in charge of our brains, our thinking? It is. No, we are. Nobody can think for us. We're in control of our own minds. And how many verses in God's Word talk about our thinking? A lot of them. A lot of them. You know, we could just spend time just going through verses where God talks about our brains and what we think about. And, you know, there's a lot in there. You know, you could even work some of that stuff on your own if you wanted to. But, you know, when you think about it, the weight of anxiety and stress. And where does anxiety and stress happen? Not on your belly. In your mind. And that's a weight. Anxiety and stress. But from a diet of God's Word, exercising our brains and believing and accepting what God says, we can get rid of the weight of anxiety and stress. I think we all know Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So God is showing us how to shed that weight of stress, anxiety. And the very next verse says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace. God wants us to have peace, not stress. If we choose to continue to have stress, honestly, that's on us. Our Father doesn't want us going around stressed. As a parent, would we want our little kids just going around stressed? No, of course not. Our Father loves us. He doesn't want us stressed out. Remember, Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. exercising ourselves unto godliness, meditating on His words. You know, last week Dave shared on having the mind of Christ. Colossians, I think you may have read in Colossians, but set your affections, your thoughts on things above. You know, God says, what are you thinking about? You know, we used to use that phrase years ago, change your stinking thinking. You know. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10. A couple more places. 2 Corinthians 10. It's kind of cool in verse 4, it says the weapons of our warfare. Yeah, it's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not walking around with swords and guns and fighting our way through life. Thank God we don't have to do that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And again, just like physical exercise, it takes effort, consistent effort, to exercise our brains unto godliness. And again, in doing so, it's very profitable to our everyday lives now and in the life to come. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to go to, let's go to verse 21. If so be, we're in Ephesians 4, verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We all have an old man nature. I mean, as a result of Adam, everybody's born with this old man nature, this sinful nature. We all have it. The only way to get rid of the weight of the old man nature is by renewing the mind, exercising our thoughts concerning the new man, the new you, the new me, who God made us in the new birth. Because, you know, the Bible says we're a new creation, the new man. But, you know, having this new nature, this new creation in us, with all the rights, the privilege, abilities, with everything that goes with the whole package, does us no good unless, verse 24, put on the new man. Where in the world would we put on the new you, the new me? In the brain. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. That's the only way to get rid of the weight of the old man nature. And again, it takes consistent effort. You know, we just keep growing day by day. We're growing more and more. But if we stop the effort, we end up like the folks we read about in Hebrews. Now you need milk again. You know, you become dull of hearing. And we don't want to get to that point. But it takes consistent effort. Who is this new me, this new man? Who am I? What do you see in the mirror when you go in the mirror in the morning, or you look in the mirror and you go, hey, that's the new man. Dude. Most of the time we just see our old selves. Sometimes people have such a low opinion of themselves, they don't even like to look at themselves in the mirror. Let me comb my hair real quick. I don't want to look at this. I want to look at this person. The only way to really see who you really are, who God really made you, is to read the church epistles and read them and read them and read them. The church epistles throughout tell who you are, what you have, what God thinks of you, what God's done for you, who this new you is. And then you can look in the mirror and go, yeah, I know who you are. You're a child of God. you are righteous in the eyes of the Creator. Nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. You're holy without blame, unimpeachable. That's who you are. You have God's Holy Spirit right inside you. I can't see it, but it's in there. That takes a little effort, doesn't it? But God told us to meditate on those words. Speak those things to ourselves. Tell ourselves who we are. And again, working our minds to believe who we are in Christ, who we are in this new creation, that's exercising ourselves to godliness. So let's keep reading here, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, that's a good one to work on, isn't it? Sometimes you just got to zip it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, which is God. Holy there should be capital H. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We forgive others because God has forgiven us. Right? And why did God forgive us? Because we were so sorry? Because we went to him and begged for mercy? God forgave us because Jesus Christ paid the price. It's been paid for. And really, when you truly, truly forgive someone, you will lose the weight of the hurt they brought on you. And that's a tough weight to carry. We all know it. We've all been hurt by people before. And that's a weight. And God would have us to not carry that weight. And, you know, sometimes I know it takes time to stop replaying it. Those are reruns we don't want to plug into. But we could do reruns of Ephesians 1:7. I'm forgiven. I have redemption. Do reruns of Romans 8. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Those are good reruns. But reruns of hurt, you know, sometimes it takes a while to just get our minds to just not go there anymore. And when we, because really forgiveness is not about the person you forgive. It's about you not carrying the weight of that hurt. And you can't go through life without somebody hurting you, right? Anybody in here never been hurt by anyone? Of course not. But, I mean, how does God forgive us? Does he rerun it every day and bring it up to us? Remember, I forgave you for that. Remember the crap you did. If God did that, we'd be in condemnation all our whole lives. But God doesn't want us carrying the weight of condemnation or sin consciousness. He doesn't want us carrying the weight of hurt that came to us. And so the way to get rid of that weight is to forgive. And sometimes it takes a while to stop replaying it in our minds. We've got to throw that out. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what God said to do. Because look, keep reading here, chapter 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Well, if that's how God forgives, then I guess that's what I got to do. Because I want to be a follower of God. I'm a child of God. He's my father. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Yeah, let's read the next verse too. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ died for us. How blessed we are. So another big part in exercising ourselves unto godliness includes living our lives as our Father God directs us. And the only way we know that is by having a diet of his word, right? Now, we just read about forgiveness, and here we're just read about in verse 1 about love. And many places in God's word for us believers, God says love, 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 love. What about being thankful? Sure, that doesn't happen automatically. If it did, God would never say in his word, you know, be thankful. It's just like our kids, when we raise children, they're not born thankful. We teach them that. Say thank you. Please tell her thanks now. You know, and they have to exercise their little brains to remember to say thank you, right? So same with us. What about prayer? Boy, there's a good one, exercising ourselves to godliness. Prayer and praise to God, prayer of thanks to God, praying for others, praying in the Spirit, operating the Spirit of God. All of these take effort, but God has promised us that exercising ourselves to godliness will be profitable for us in this life and in the life to come. And we're going to close in Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Everybody there? Okay. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and the cloud of witnesses is referring to all the wonderful believers in chapter 11, you know, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, you know, all these by faith, by faith, by faith. This great list of wonderful believers. So we're compassed about. We've got such a great bunch of examples of people who believed God, and sometimes in some of the scariest situations you could want to be in. You know, Dave had to sing that song, Daniel was a man of prayer, thrown into a den of lions. That's pretty scary. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And it's interesting that that word lay aside, that's the same word that we saw in Ephesians where it said, put off the old man. That's the same word also that comes up in Colossians and in James and in 1 Peter where it talks about laying aside old man nature stuff. God wants us to put the weight aside. God doesn't want us burdened down and carrying all this weight. God wants us to put off that old nature. You know, we've read some verses this morning, casting down imaginations. We read that. Or maybe we didn't. We did. We read that. Set your affection on things, set your affection, your thinking on things above, not on things of the earth. And again, it just takes a decision and then a consistent effort. A lot of people make New Year's resolutions to make a decision. This is it. But there's no consistency. They don't carry it out. They don't get the results. They don't get the benefits. We want to make a decision and then have consistency to get the results that God would have us. Verse 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider what Jesus Christ went through. Consider how he just handled dying for us. How's that? My goodness. You know, looking unto Jesus, that's what Dave was talking about last week, a frame of mind, putting on the mind of Christ. Why? So we don't faint and carry all that weight. That's what God would have us to do. And as we consistently exercise ourselves unto godliness, we'll get rid of the weight of the old man nature. Not instantaneously, but layer by layer by layer. That's maturing. That's growing up. And none of us are perfect. No one's attained perfection at living the whole thing that we read about in the Word. We just keep growing and growing, but we can mature, right? We can get better at it. Sure. So in closing, in this coming new year, we could, if we wanted to, make resolutions to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Eat more of God's good food. Exercise our brains to believe it and shed the weight we've been carrying. We could do that. You know, and it's like, you know, you can even pick out one thing. I'm really going to focus on prayer. I'm going to focus on love. I'm going to focus on giving. I'm going to focus on reading God's word. And so we could make a New Year's resolution. This coming year, I'm going to read more of God's word than I've ever read before in my life. I'm really going to make that decision. And then I'm going to be consistent in it. We could do that, and that's wonderful. Or we could just simply start each new day saying, today, I'm going to do this. Today, I'm going to do that. And take things just a day at a time, right? And we do our best day by day, whatever that might be that we wanted to. Today, I'm going to speak in tongues more than I did yesterday. Today, I'm going to just take a little extra time and pray. I'm going to grow in my prayer life. Today, I'm going to be more thankful than I was yesterday. We just take things a day at a time, a point at a time. And that's all part of exercising ourselves unto godliness. And God promised that it will be profitable for us in this life and in the life to come. So, Father, thank you for your wonderful word and the great direction you give us in your word. And, Father, how you want us to live our lives and just be blessed. And how, God, what a great privilege it is to call you Father, that we are literally your children. Thank you for what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And as we wait for that great day for you to send him back to come and get us, Father, may we just keep growing, keep exercising ourselves unto godliness. And Father, with the love of God we have in our hearts, may we have the opportunity to reach out to others, to help them get rid of some of the weight they're carrying. Thank you for everyone here, those on the hookup, those that may hear this later. Please bless each and every person. And Father, as we start a new year, may this be a wonderful year to give you praise and thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.